Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be in the house? Come on, high five the person sitting next to you. Tell them, how are you this morning? Amen. If you're not sitting to somebody, you can wake up. Just greet somebody's hand and tell them, welcome into the house of the Lord today. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. 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 I'm excited for what the Lord has done and for what the Lord is doing in our lives. He has protected us. He has shielded every one of us. And I just thank God for his faithfulness. Amen. So today we are so blessed to have so many guests and in particular to have my music teacher and our pastor, Pastor John Jumia. I've known him for so many years, and I want us to put our hands together to invite him to the microphone, and I know he's going to introduce us to his entourage, his family. The Lord has been so gracious to him. Within a very short period of time, every one of his family members have joined him here, and he is a kind of a person, of a kind of a family that you want to rub your shoulders on so that the blessings can even, you know, pour on you. Amen. And so please let us put our hands together and invite my friend, Pastor John Jumia, to come and minister the word of the Lord to us. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise us. Amen. Just want to thank God for this wonderful day that God has given us. That was a powerful session of praise and worship. I thought from the time we got here in good time. We have really enjoyed the fellowship of the worship. I thank you, worship team, for guiding us and leading us in such a powerful. Thank you, brother. God bless you so much. Yeah. Just want to also thank God for this time for our pastor. He's just talking about my family, but two members of the family who came to join us were actually under him in Happy Church. These are the fruits of pastor. So what we can say is that you really, God used you in Happy Church to bring up people that have stood, and we can attest of the goodness of the Lord in your family too, pastor. And awesome, our dear brethren in this church, just want to thank God for you. For the time we've been together, it has been a wonderful time to fellowship with you, and just want to thank God for that. So I'm here with my family today. Just want to introduce them to you. Or can you stand up? All right. Yeah. So we have my wife, you know her, and then we have Liz, that is the wife to Robert. Robert is standing over there. And then we have Sophie. Sophie is our daughter, and the husband is the one on the right side. That's Stanley Musioka. And then we have our son. I don't know whether you've been here before, have you? You've been here. That is Sammy. He's the one who, you remember when we were together and we were helping him and, praying for him to he had a wedding in Kenya also. His wife is not here yet, but we are believing God that she will be able to join us anytime. Sammy Luku, and then, of course, I had introduced you to Abraham. All right. Then we have, of course, our grandchildren, who are the children of Musioka. We have Sammy. Hey, Sammy. All right. And then we have Victor. And then we have Caleb. That's nice. Thank you. Yeah, God bless you. So we thank God for them. Maybe I'll invite them to come. Robert wanted to give us a number so we can sing together with you and the family too. Thank you. We like singing in our family, so that's it. All right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
We'll sing together. This is just in Pambio to see at Nimbo to go to Meunda. Hakuna kitu tumeunda, ni kitu tu tunaimba tu. We just want to sing with you if you can.
Amen. Yes.
All right.
Father, we are so happy to be in this place. Amen. Makofi na vigelegele kwa Yesu. Amen.
Nampenda Bwana Yesu, ninampenda. Amen. Nampenda Bwana Yesu, ninampenda. Amen. Ninampenda Bwana Yesu, ninampenda mimi. Amen. Nampenda Bwana Yesu, ninampenda. Yeye ameniokoa, amenitendea makuu. Huyu Yesu asifiwe. Nampenda Bwana Yesu, nampenda. Amen. Nampenda Bwana Yesu, nampenda.
Come on. sugar me tea. He go clothe my body. He go shelter my head.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hata hiyo igogo sikuwa nimeijua, nimeijua tu. Okay, that's good. We thank God. We thank God, Robert. Thank you. That is it. We thank for the opportunity of him giving us to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And as I was preparing, as Pastor had just called me and told me he wanted me to share the word of God, I just like wanted to know the direction that God was going to take me and the word that he would impress in my heart to share with the brethren this morning. And I want us to turn to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings and chapter 5. Is that clock right? Oh no. So what is the time? Huh? 1:45. Yeah, that's where we are. Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in his master's sight and highly regarded, because through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was a brave warrior, but he had a skin disease. Aram had gone on raids and brought back from the land of Israel a young girl who served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would go to the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." I would like to read from my version. It says, "Now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy." Verse 2, "Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.'" Now this narrative follows two previous chapters that talks about the prophet Elisha. And prophet Elisha, after taking the mantle from Elijah, he started doing great wonders and miracles that followed one another. And these miracles were proving very right that Elisha was the successor of Elijah. And Elijah had already told him that when you see me taken up and you get hold of mantle, then you will receive a double portion. So this is Elisha. And so the narrative that we have just read is a sequence of God's powerful ministry of Elisha, where we could see that God was actually had anointed him for the service at that particular time. And so that is why in this version, the Bible begins verse 1. We said, "Now Naaman." And then when it introduces the young girl, it says, "Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken a captive girl." So in this text, we see two notable important characters: Naaman and a young slave girl. And the Bible describes Naaman as a commander, a great man, highly regarded, a valiant soldier, warrior.
but also a leper. When the young girl is described, it says it's a young girl, no name given. No name given. Young, a captive, a slave, a household or a maid, and an Israelite. These two distinctive characters appear at the beginning of this story to tell us something, that the Bible tells us of a great man, and it tells us of a young girl who is a slave, and the contrast is so wide that there is no way you can compare the two, because one is a commander, the other one is a great man, a highly regarded person, a valiant soldier, a person esteemed and respected in the kingdom of Aaron. The other one is just a nobody, actually a slave. But one great thing I want to tell you this morning, it doesn't matter how small you are, it doesn't matter how insignificant you may look like, the most important thing is that you can appear in the book of God, and that God can recognize you. We look at this girl, and when we see this difference between the great and the small, this guy was actually a captive, and the girl was a captive. The Bible tells that he was famous, but the girl was unknown. It tells us that this guy was actually a slave owner. He owned this girl, but the girl was a slave. One other distinctive characteristic is that Naaman was a Gentile. He was a heathen guy, but the girl was an Israelite. That's what makes the difference. And if you look, you will find that any time God has given a text in the Bible, it's to teach us something about the faith. Because the Bible says in Romans 15 verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And so we find this little girl. She was actually taken captive when the army of Aram went to raid the Israelites. And she was captured. Now, one thing I don't know about, we are not explained here, is that when she was captured, was she captured together with the parents? Was she captured together with a company of others? That is not explained. But what is explained is that the girl was actually captured. I see this one singled out. It says, now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl. We don't know whether she was alone. We don't know whether she was going to fetch water. We don't know what she was doing until she was captured by this army and brought. Now, when she was brought, she became a slave. I mean, as a slave, she was brought as a captive. The most interesting thing is that she landed in Naaman's house. How did she land in Naaman's house, a slave? This almost like flashes me back to the story of Joseph. When he was thrown in the pit, and then the brothers sold him. And when he was sold, he landed in the house of Potiphar, who was a highly respected person in the kingdom of Egypt. Now, so when this girl was taken into the house of Naaman, we really don't know how she felt. We are not told how she felt, because that was an isolation. That was a separation from the father. That was a separation from her people. That was a foreign land. That was a place she never knew. She didn't even know where she was going. But one thing I find in this story is that although these things happened, she looked like she didn't worry so much about it, because when she got in Naaman's house, she looked like she stayed well, because the Bible says here, she said, a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She served Naaman's wife. That means she was just like Joseph. She served in the king's place, and she looked like she was a good girl. Now, there is something that I looked at this text, and I said, if I look at this young girl, then there must have been something that was unique about her. That one thing is that God, she was an Israelite. God had already protected her. She had what we call divine protection. Because all the way until Naaman's house, she was under divine protection. Secondly, the most striking thing is that the Bible says she was an Israelite, meaning that her identity was different. Her identity was that she was a Jew. Actually, she was a Jew. And Jews were children of God. She was a child of Abraham. She, although she was a captive, she was a unique person. And you know what? When we are called into the family of God, we become unique. The moment you're born again, you change your status. Oh my. You change your status. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your name. It doesn't matter your status in the society. The most important thing is that the moment you're born again, your status changes. And I'm here to encourage people. I'm here to encourage you that it does not matter who you are. It does not matter where you are. It doesn't matter which family you come from. It does not matter what struggles you're going through. So long as you're born again, you have the DNA of God. For the Bible says that when you are born again, we become the children of God. All those who believed in him were given the power to become the sons of God. This is what this girl was all about. A slave, weakly, weaker, foreigner, never known, no name mentioned, but a miserable. That is the whole. The whole. And that is what makes us different from the people of the world. Sometimes, let me tell you, brethren, we forget our identity. And we think we are like ordinary people. God has elevated us to a higher level. The Bible says we are a royal family. We are a peculiar people. People that have been set apart for God. That's what we are, Pastor. We are not ordinary people. And so, let me tell you, as you walk, you don't really walk much in Dallas, but anytime you have time to walk, come on, walk like a child of God. Don't let anybody intimidate you. Don't anybody tell you are nothing. Don't let anybody tell you are good for nothing. In fact, you are good for everything. Because in ordinary terms, how can you talk about a young girl who is a slave, staying, just being a maid? And then the Bible records her story. I have read this story many times. I've never seen it this way. That this girl, oh my goodness, she was raised under the influence of the commandments and the covenants of God. She was raised and she knew the promises of God in her life. She was brought up in Israel. Jehovah God was her God. This is what she was. And you know what? There's something she knew. She knew about the prophets of God. You know, the father of this girl were given the prophet Elijah. They were given the prophet Elijah. And then in her generation, there was a prophet who was now the top of the tops. That was Elisha. And when she was captured, Elisha was at the top. Everybody was talking about Elisha. So when she came to this house, she definitely knew the story of Elijah from her fathers and children. How Elijah was able to speak a supply of oil to a widow. Continuous supply of oil. Zarephath widow, that there was oil flowing. She must have heard about Elijah, the man who stood in Mount Carmel and defeated 450 prophets of God. She must have heard the father say or the mother say, you know, Elijah the man of God, this is the mighty miracle working God. Yes. Then she must have learned how Elijah went without dying, that Elijah was taken up to heaven. A child of the man. Those stories were real. She's in Naaman's house, but those stories will never go away. Let me tell you something. When we were praying for the children here, that's the testimony we were instilling the things of God his children, they will never forget that I'm going to grow up. That is what will hold your child when you become a grown up. You see, it's good that I am speaking this message when I have my children here. You know that it has taken time for me to get them to get confidence. These guys, you can never see them, but they're in America, you don't know where they are. To get them to come, I told the men, I want you to come to my local church. I want us to go. It became very hard to connect this one, connect this one. They go away completely. But you know what? The most important thing is what you are doing for these kids. They'll never forget when they grow up. You saw this girl, when she went into Norman's house, there is something she knew. Ooh. She knew there is a prophet in Israel called Elisha. And she must have seen this prophet because it was just a few days before she was captured. And the stories that come before that scripture tells us that she knew much about Elisha. And when she came into Norman's house, Norman, who is a great man, a man who was esteemed, a man who was respected, a man who was highly regarded, had a problem. He had a chronic disease called leprosy. And this girl was taking care of that one. What do you think she was seeing every morning? An isolated, strong man. You know, leprosy could reduce you to nothing. Leprosy was a disease that nobody could come in contact with. Actually, I'm sure he was isolated from the wife. He could not come near the wife because it was contagious. Leprosy was a bad disease. In fact, people who had leprosy were supposed to be isolated and they were supposed to identify themselves as lepers. They used to put on certain clothes that identified them as. And they were supposed to cover their mouth like this wherever they go where the people are and say, I'm a leper, I'm a leper, I'm a leper, so that people can run away. The situation in that house was so bad that there was despair. There was sorrow in that home. I can't imagine the wife of Naaman, how she used to react every day. And she knew the husband was going to die anyway, eventually. It was a bad thing to happen in the house of a great man. And this girl, the Israelite, without any name, but an Israelite, a Jew, is in that house. And I'm sure, because of her goodness, because of the goodness of the Lord in her, she must have been praying for this man. I don't know. We are not told. But I know because she knew God and she knew about the prophet and she knew her identity and she knew that there is hope in this man. There is hope in this man. She must have been praying for this man. But anyway, she's a slave. How can you talk when you're a slave? But one time, I think she could not wait any longer. When there was something burning in her heart about her master, she couldn't wait. And one time, I'm sure they used to talk with the mistress, but this time, this day, she just couldn't hold it. And these are the words that she spoke. If only my master, if only my master would go and see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of it. Now look at this word. Very selected word. You don't command this. You cannot tell her. No. You know, our master is sick. Please, can you tell him to go? Tell him to go and see the prophet. He said, if only. If only. You know, those are like, it's like saying, it's not on me. I didn't even. She was talking like this. I don't think she spoke like that. No. A maid has no words to speak. But let me tell you something. God respects even if only. Let me tell you something. You can encourage somebody by telling him, if only you can come to the Lord, If only you can pray. If only you can come to church. If only you. If only. But those are very weak words. How can you expect such words to be acted upon? If only. That is just like. Not very good. Come on. Come on, angel. I was teaching Swahili in Kenya, so we used to have ge na ge, kama kali. Kama komanda angaliku kwenda kwa mtume angali. Ngali lazima ipate ngali. Na nge lazima ipate ngali. Unconditional, you know, it's not something that is a man. If you could do this, then God would. I'm here this morning to tell you, if you can bring those problems to the Lord, if only. Let me tell you why these words were so powerful. They were energized by the endowment of God's anointing. These were not ordinary words. You know, when she just spoke those words, God from heaven brought the anointing on those words. So it is not even a matter of words that you use. Talk to God. No, you can talk in any way. You don't look at here. See? God empowered those words. And those words became rhema words. Those words started stirring the heavens. Those words started exciting the heavens. Because how do you expect a small girl to tell Naaman, if only, and then Naaman stands and says, not even talking. I mean, we are not told it. Look at this. It says in verse 3, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Look at verse 4. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. Even the mistress is not mentioned. Because there should have been some protocol. From the girl, then probably take a week. Then, you know, normally, why don't tell the husband things that are very sensitive, very quickly. Wait for a while. You cannot tell your husband important things and very, very sensitive things when he's not in the mood. So you can imagine what kind of mood Naaman had. Naaman didn't have any mood. The guy was a leper. He was in a bad mood every day, every hour, every minute. But I'm sure the mistress did not waste time. She just went to Naaman. Hey, you know what? You know the thing from Israel? She has said that there is a prophet who can heal you. Is it true? Yes. Okay. What does she want me to do? To go there. And the Bible tells us that from that time on, the words of a small girl excited, stirred up, you know, the words that she spoke, empowered by God, started to activate a movement. They started to bring about action in this family. And the Bible says that Naaman rose up. Let me tell you before I proceed, that the most important thing as a child of God is to know the things of God, is to know the word of God, is to know what God is doing at that particular time. If I look at this, I see a girl who was equipped with the ordinances of God, a girl who knew the promises of God, a girl who knew the covenants of God, a girl who knew the promises that we sang here, and knew what God can do through his prophets. The Bible says, believe in God and his prophets, you shall be happy. Knowledge is important. And I came to know something. That the world is lacking in this area. Because the Bible says in Jeremiah 9:23, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts about thee, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight. The most important thing is to know God and to know his goodness, his mercy, his help, and his goodness. Oh my goodness. That is what is important in this world. You know, the other day, I mean, on TV, I'm seeing people just in the streets hopeless. They have got hope in their lives. They are hoping in the election. Doesn't work that way. Elections came and went as our brother was praying. We are behind on that, but we have a hope ahead of us. Hallelujah. There is a hope ahead of us. God is in control of everything. The moment you start thinking about human beings, you're lost. The moment you focus in the hope of glory, you start moving up. You know, when I was seeing that, I was remembering 2007, when there was elections in Kenya. And I was locked up in a place I could not move out. And my life was in danger. What are you talking about? What do you do? What are you saying? But I said, my hope is in the Lord. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fear. The Bible says, fear not, for I am with you. Let us not be like the people of the world, people who are hopeless, people who don't have anything to hold on to. We have something to hold on to, the word of God. We can hold on to the ordinances of God, the promises of God, the covenants of God. We can stand by those. And the knowledge of God will kindle us. And so, the little girl brought hope in the house of Naaman. Oh, what a great thing. Hope came into the house. Something which was not there came into the house. Despair ran off the window. Hope came into the house. And the mistress was excited. And she told Naaman. And Naaman went to the king. Now look here. The small girl started orchestrating a movement. Yani unaona watu wanakorogeshwa wanagongana vichwa because of simple words, if only. See what happened here. A chain of events that followed these words tell us that it is important to dwell in the Lord. Amen. It says, Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl of Israel had said. By all means, this is what the king says, by all means go. Enda kabisa. Don't wait. Go completely. I would like to see you healed. That is the king speaking. Go. The king of Aram replied, I will send a letter to the king of Israel. In fact, I was imagining that small girl just seated doing her work. The king is speaking of her work. Go quickly. In fact, I'll write a letter. My secretary. You know, this is what happens when you trust in God and you speak God's word. People start doing things on your behalf. I was encouraging some friends of mine who have been waiting for their papers to be processed in this country. I know there are many challenges. I have told them, look here, those people who are preparing those papers, they can be commanded to do it very fast. You don't need to worry. Whoever engaged the gear to, if only God, you can give me the goods. That has nothing to me, man. If only God. Because once the words are taken and energized and endued with the power of God, nobody can stop it. Even kings. Watafanya mabibi, wakitaka wasipende. We have very good examples here. So Naaman left. Ala? Naaman nalikuwa nakaa kwa nyumba. How can you leave because of the words of a man? If it was somebody, an official, that could have been better. Now a maid is saying, I go. And he goes to the king, he gets the letter, then he goes. The Bible says, so Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Woo! The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of leprosy. That was the letter written. Letterhead. I'm looking at this scenario. Kama kungekuwa na video, we could have followed that story very well. Now even Naaman is doing things that he was not told by the girl to do. You know, sometimes you get so excited until you do things you are not told to do. You are not told to take a letter. And you are not told to carry 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of gold. Although that could have been the normal way. How can you go bare hand and you're going to get healed? But the problem was, the king thought it was the king of Israel who was going to cure the king. Now that was the problem. And that is how many people think. They think they can be helped by people. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, but cursed is the man who trusts in man. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, brethren. For those who are here, they know. Those who have tried man, they have failed. Those who have tried God have never failed. One time, I remember, Pastor, you know I was a choir master. So one time I had a choir. I was teaching in Baringo High. And I had a big choir. So we used to go and entertain the president. So we went to Cabernet, where he used to have his own pavilion in the hotel. So that one was special. When he's taking his dinner, then choir. Hey! Then choirs are coming from the pastor announcement. Hey! And after you know what the president said? He called one of his closest men and said, "Is that teacher? This is a teacher in Baringo, the music teacher in Baringo High School. Okay. Can you ask him what he wants? You take him to college. What? You are really good." So my desire was to go and do music in Kenneth and Gus. So that's just what came to my mind. I just wanted to pursue music. And I had done that, you know, royal music. I just put it on my mind. And so the person who was then said, okay, he came to me and said, "You know what? The president has said that what would you like him to do for you?" I said, "Me, I want to go to the university. I really want to pursue music." He said, "Okay, I'll go tell you." So when he went back, he told the president, and the president said, he told a guy who was called, I don't want to mention his name, but he used to be those guys who are just close to him, you know, who are used to defend. And then he called me, and he said, "You know what, come to Nairobi. Come to Nairobi, I'll organize everything." So I went to Nairobi the first day. I met him in his office. No, he was not in the office, so I waited the whole day. He didn't come. I slept in Nairobi. Then the following day, he came late, around 4. Then he said, "Sorry, I was not able to come, but anyway, give me your details, everything." I gave him my details, everything, my certificate, whatever, photocopies, and so on. I said, "You go home, I'll call you in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, he never called me. In a month, he never called me. I tried to call him, the phone couldn't get through. You know, those days you had to. And so one time he came to Rabin, and then I was told he was there. So I followed him in a political thing, rally or something, and I got him. And then he said, "Oh, sorry, man, I was so busy, I went to, I don't know where I came back. Now what you do this, come to Nairobi on Monday." I went to Nairobi on Monday, he was nowhere to be seen. Man, I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed.
And then I just gave up.
The word from a king was never fulfilled. And that is what Naaman was trying to do here. He was trying to talk. The king was trying to talk to the other king to have favor. It didn't work. It didn't work. Because when, hey, look at this. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, when he read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me. Do you know the words that are bringing all this havoc?
If only.
And you know why the king of Israel said that? Because the king of Israel knows that he can do nothing. It's only the prophet of God who can do that. This is the king of Israel who knows about it. So this king who is a heathen is coming to pick a quarrel with me by telling me to heal this man. Na naandika barua mzuri yenye iko na leta head. It doesn't work. And so, now look at this as I come to the end. I like this. Verse 8. When Elisha, the man of God, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had tore his yani jamani pasua nguo. Unajua jamani mtu akikadhirika na pasua nguo. Imagine sasa mimi nina knock yani nimekadhirika. Nina pasua masuti na mashati ninabaki bila kwa. That's being annoyed now. You tear your robes. You completely tear everything. You are very annoyed. But someone I can't imagine when you are so annoyed, you are starting to tear off your clothes. And when Elisha heard that the king had tore his clothes. Now, look here. The word that made Elisha to come from where he was is, if only. If only the king. Go and meet the prophet. Do you see how those words move? They move from one place to the other. That one is not possible. Those words are not needed there. So it jumps boat, goes to the king, and then from the king, they go to the right person. I'm here to tell you that your words will never fall to the ground. The words you speak as a child of God will never fall to the ground. And I want you to start knowing that your status is not the small status you are talking about. It's not even equivalent to a king. As a child of God, God just hears your word. Unajua hata watu, people think that when you pray, you are trying to reach God. God already heard. God hears. In fact, before you open your mouth, you already heard your prayer. He knows it. And you know, Elisha now comes into the picture. And the Bible says, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had tore his clothes, he sent him this message. Imagine Elisha is sending now a message to the king. The little girl is making letters to exchange between great men. From this king, this one. From the prophet to the king. Now, to the king. And it says, why have you tore your robes? Has the man come to me? Have the man come to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went to with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Finally, the words of the girl wrote Naaman in the doorstep of the man of God. That's how powerful your words will become when you speak them. And the Bible says, Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. Kambio, kwenda. It's a small thing. I told you will be healed. Now you don't need even to come to me. Go to the river. You mask yourself 7 times, come out. Be healed. Now again. Somebody is being shown how to get healed. Being a lot of people. He says, But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me. Or you want God to do things the way you want them to be done. You want God to come through this way, but he might come through here. God comes, he has so many ways to come to you. Don't give him instructions. And the Bible says that, and he started even questioning, are not Abana and Phra, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleansed? How can you be cleansed in waters of paganism? And then he, Jordan is the river of God. It is in Israel. It doesn't matter whether it is dirty. Somebody told me when they went to visit Israel the other day, the river is so dirty. Now, I don't want to buy a river before your mother. But it's so dirty. It's dirty, but it doesn't matter. That is the real water that will heal you. Then, the same words are activating the servants. Have you ever had servants listening, the king listening to the servants? Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. As the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like a young baby. Young baby. Come on, you must channel no more now, Papa. Now, the guy came up. And you know what? Then finally, this girl did not only touch Naaman's house. She did not only touch the king of Aram. She did not only touch the king of Israel. She did not only touch the prophet. She touched the world by her if only. Look at this. The Bible says, then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. Now they came back after he got healed. He didn't run away. He came back to the man of God. And what did he do? He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world. There is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. The prophet answered, as surely as the Lord lives, who myself, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman argued, he refused. There's nothing to pay. Healing was clear. In this text, I'm just finding something here in this text. I'm finding that any born again Christian, every born again Christian who believes in God, in the mighty God, any child of God who believes in God and believes in his promises and is born again can speak life into the truth. Any child of God born again and that knows God and that has the knowledge of God can orchestrate God. You know, I discovered what God wants or what God honors is when a word is eventually going to glorify you. That's what God is doing. That's why David Goliath, you come to me with a javelin, and the sword and everything, but I come to you in the name of Jehovah God, the commander of the armies of Israel. Those were not even the words that killed Goliath. But when you say, and the whole world will know that there is a God. A man comes with a woman, a Midianite woman, and passes across the assembly and goes to his tent. The thing that just Moses is trying to cry against. This guy, Phinehas, do you know what she did? She did? The guy led him to the tent. And you see here, just a man. Stop. Just stop. And God says, Phinehas, the son of Eliab, the son of Eliab. Now he has become what I like. Now, there is in this house of Phinehas, he will never lack. He will never lack in this house. And he will never miss.
We want to honor your name, O Lord, for your goodness, your mercies, and kindness. Thank you because, Lord, we have seen what a child, a young girl from Israel, was able to speak words that you honored. And that you even touched the heart of a prophet, wherever he was. You activated kings to respond to her words. Thank you because these words were honored, not because they were just words spoken, but because they were spoken by a child of God, a Jew, an Israelite by birth, a child of God who knew the commandments of God, who knew the oracles of God, who knew the promises of God, who knew the prophets of God, who knew the doings of the prophet, and who had hope that his master will be healed. Thank you, Jesus, because you've given us this word this day, oh Lord, that, Lord, we can talk to you and you can orchestrate things to happen for us. Lord, we are praying that, Lord, you may intervene in our situations, oh Lord. Each one of us, Lord, has a need in her heart or his heart, Lord. And we are believing you that, God, you are able to help us. You are able to give us answers. You are able to give us breakthrough in our lives, oh Lord. We are trusting in you. We have hope in you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Even as we wind up this service this morning, you could be here and you want to tell God, if only God, you can meet my need. If only God, you could remember me. If only God, you could intervene in my family. If only God, you could intervene with my applications for work, for immigration. If only God, you can intervene in the sickness of my brother. If only God, you can intervene in this church, oh Lord, and help us. If only God, you can intervene in my children, oh Jehovah. If only God, you can be with us in this time, oh Lord. If only God, you can intervene in our nation, oh God. If only God, you can do that for us. Just put up your hand as we pray right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. I give you praise, Lord. Lord, we humble before you. Just like this little girl from Israel, we may not have the right words to speak to you, but you know our hearts. Lord, you know our desire. We trust in you because you are our God. We trust in you because you know we are able. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ask or imagine. You are able to perform miracles for us, Lord. There is nothing so hard for you, Lord. Naaman was healed because of those words that were spoken by a child of God. Lord, as we speak our words today, we want to pray that you'll give us results, oh Lord. You'll give us answers, oh Lord. Thank you, Jehovah, for those hands, oh Lord. We give you praise and honor, Lord. Bless us as a church, oh Lord. Bless us as a community, Jehovah God. Bless this nation of America, oh God. Bless our president, Lord. Bless the people who are going to work with him, oh Jehovah. Thank you, King of Glory, because you had appointed, you are the one who appoints kings, oh Lord. And we want to believe in that, Jehovah God. We thank you. We pray for peace and tranquility to prevail in this nation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. May God bless you.